of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, again we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful, this loving conversation with you, speaking to you, listening to you. And we ask the help of Our Lady, of Saint Joseph, and of our guardian angel. And in this month traditionally dedicated to the Rosary, and that ever since 1883, when Pope Leo XIII dedicated the month of October to the Rosary, and writing 16 encyclicals in the following years on the Rosary, we do our prayer on this beautiful prayer that you have given us, that you have given us through the piety of people. It is truly a popular prayer, popular in the sense that it arose from the piety of the people, popular in the sense that it is said by so many today, thank God. How did the Rosary come about? In the very early centuries, the people who could not read were saying 150 Our Fathers to accompany the monks in the monasteries who were praying the 150 Psalms of the Divine Office, the breviary. They were counting them often on beads. These beads were made by guilds in London, for example, on a street that was known as Pater Noster Row, Our Father Row, because they were making the beads for counting the Our Fathers. And then in the 11th century, as the Hail Mary became more popular, especially in England, the Hail Mary took the place of the Our Father, although at that time it was just the words from Scripture. And Lord, as we say that, we remember that the Rosary is very much a scriptural prayer. We read those first words in the Gospel of St. Luke, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Words of the angel to Our Lady. And then Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, takes up those words when Our Lady visits her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The name Jesus was added afterwards. And the rest of the prayer was added by Pope Pius V, in 1568, when he was standardizing the Rosary in its present form. The people were praying those prayers. They wanted to accompany the monks. They wanted to pray, Lord, to you, to honor you with those Our Fathers and those Hail Marys. And little by little, the mysteries developed, to the point where in 1569, when Pope Pius V standardized the Rosary, we had the traditional three sets of mysteries. The joyful mysteries, considering your infancy, the sorrowful mysteries, your passion and death, the glorious mysteries, your resurrection and glorification. And Lord, that Rosary is all about you. We like to think of it as a Marian prayer, and so it is. 50 Hail Marys. But you are in the middle of every Hail Mary. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And we are meditating on your life. It is a compendium of the entire gospel, as Pope Pius IX once said. And Our Lady herself wants us to say it. Lord, it was your mother, sent by you to Saint Dominic in the 13th century, when he was doing his best to convert the heretics of his day, the Albigensians and the Valdensians, and having little success. And according to the tradition, Our Lady appeared to him, suggested that he use the rosary. And when he did that, he had great success. St. Dominic would mention the mysteries of our Lord's life, and the people would say the Hail Marys. The Dominicans have always been great propagators of the rosary. Our Lady then recommended it to St. Dominic. She recommended it at Lourdes in 1858 to Bernadette. In that first apparition, she appeared with the rosary in her hand, and Bernadette took out her own rosary and prayed it along with Our Lady. She recommended it at Fatima, and she told those three children to pray the rosary every day. And Lord, if we know that something pleases our mother, we will do that to please her. And it helps us. And Our Lady wants us to say the rosary. It pleases her that we say it. Then, Lord, help us to say it, if only to please Our Lady. But we will get so much from it. As we meditate on your life, as we meditate on the various aspects of those mysteries, we are the ones that get sanctified by that great prayer. And for this reason, the popes and the saints have constantly recommended it. We can go back to the 18th century, and St. Alphonsus Liguori says, "At the present time, there is no devotion more widely practiced by the faithful than this one of the Holy Rosary. What have the heretics not done to discredit the use of the rosary? But well known is the extraordinary good the world has received from this most noble devotion. How many have been freed from their sins through it? How many began to live a holy life? How many obtained a good death and are now in heaven? Lord, you know how many have been converted, have been saved through the rosary, whether they themselves were saying it or others were saying it for them. Countless souls have benefited from the rosary, as St. Alphonsus says." The following century, we go to Pope Pius IX. When he was on his deathbed, one of the prelates looking after him asked what was on his mind in those moments, and he answered, "Actually, I'm contemplating the 15 mysteries of the rosary depicted on the walls of this room. If you only knew how encouraging they are to me. Considering them is most comforting. Meditating on the joyful mysteries, I forget about my pain. Considering the different phases of the Passion, I am greatly heartened, since I tread the path of suffering in the company of Christ who went before me. When I bring the glorious mysteries to mind, I am filled with joy. It is very clear to me that all my pain is being converted into glory. What great solace the rosary has been on my deathbed." And Lord, we can imagine someone who is dying in great pain will find so much comfort, as Pius IX said, in meditating on those mysteries of the rosary, in saying that rosary. Pope Pius IX on that occasion went on, "The rosary is like a compendium of the gospel. It provides rivers of peace to those who say it well. By far, it is the richest devotion and the one most abundant in graces. It certainly is the most pleasing to the heart of Mary. Remember me, my sons, by this final testimony I am giving to you now." A compendium of the gospel, because, Lord, we consider your life. And when St. John Paul II added the mysteries of light, we completed your life. we have the infancy and the joyful mysteries. Now your public life in those 3 years of preaching in the mysteries of light, and then the sorrowful mysteries of your passion and death, and the glorious mysteries of your resurrection. The rosary is such a complete look at your life. We pray about you. It is such a helpful prayer, a compendium, as Pope Pius IX says, of the gospel. And it provides, as he says, those rivers of peace to those who say it well. When we are troubled, and we often are, we can go to you, we can go to Our Lady in the Rosary, and as we say one Hail Mary after another, we are led more into love for you and Mary, and we find that peace that we seek. It is by far, as he says, the richest devotion, and the one most abundant in graces. It is rich, because it honors you, Lord, the Son of God. And of course, it honors Our Lady. As we say 50 times, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We are praising our mother. And then we are going as her humble children to beg her help. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. We are poor sinners. We need your intercession. Pray for us now. And then when we die, at the hour of our death, be there for us to intercede. Be the gate of heaven, the mother of mercy, to put in that good word for us. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, when asked on one occasion why he had such devotion to Mary, answered, "Because when I die and I stand before our Lord in the judgment, I want him to say, 'Yes, my mother told me so much about you.' And Lord, we can be sure that if we are devoted to you and your mother like this, she will not neglect us throughout our life, and especially at the hour of our death." And then we can go to the 20th century, and all the popes have recommended the rosary. Pope John Paul II, who prayed the rosary himself so much, as all the popes have done, said, "The rosary is my favorite prayer, a marvelous prayer, marvelous in its simplicity and its depth. In this prayer, we repeat many times the words that the Virgin Mary heard from the Archangel and from her cousin Elizabeth. The whole Church joins in these words. It can be said that the Rosarium is, in a way, a prayer comment on the last chapter of the Constitution, Lumen Gentium, of Vatican II, the chapter that deals with the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, in the mystery of Christ and the Church." The favorite prayer of John Paul II. How many rosaries he said throughout his life, how many rosaries he gave away, and how many times he recommended that the faithful say it. For example, on the 5th of October 1980, in his Angelus message, he said, "The saying of the Angelus and of the Rosary must be for every Christian, and even more for Christian families, like a spiritual oasis during the course of the day from which we can get strength and confidence." That spiritual oasis, when we are busy, when we are tired, when we are stressed and troubled, we take ourselves to that spiritual oasis of peace and calm. And then we can go to Pope Benedict. He led the praying of the Rosary on Saturday, the 3rd of May, 2008, at the Basilica of St. Mary Major. And afterwards, he said these words to the faithful gathered there. "Today, we together confirm that the Holy Rosary is not some pious practice relegated to the past, a prayer of distant times to be thought of nostalgically. Indeed, the Rosary is experiencing what is almost a new springtime. In the modern world that is so dispersive, this prayer helps us to place Christ at the center, as did the Virgin who meditated upon everything that was said about her Son, and upon what he himself did and said. When we recite the Rosary, we relive important moments of the history of salvation. We again go over the various stages of Christ's mission. With Mary, we turn our hearts to the mystery of Jesus. May Mary help us to welcome within ourselves the grace that emanates from these mysteries, so that through us this grace can irrigate society, starting with our everyday relationships, purifying it from many negative forces, and opening it to the novelty of God. The Rosary, when it is prayed in an authentic manner, not mechanically and superficially, but profoundly, brings peace and reconciliation. It contains the healing power of the most holy name of Jesus, invoked with faith and love at the heart of each Hail Mary. And Lord, help us to pray the Rosary regularly, as Pope Benedict recommends, as everyone recommended, starting with Our Lady. And then we can go to Pope Francis, and in an address at Castel Gandolfo on the 16th of August, 2013, he said, "Mary joins us. She fights at our side. She supports Christians in the fight against the forces of evil, especially through prayer, through the Rosary. Hear me out. The Rosary. Do you pray the Rosary each day?" And Lord, he is addressing that question to each one of us. Do I pray the Rosary each day? How much good it would do me. It sanctifies me as I meditate on your life, as I say those Hail Marys, as I praise the Blessed Trinity in the sign of the cross, in the Glory Be to the Father, as I praise the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Such a rich prayer which will sanctify me, and it is a powerful prayer. The Rosary has sunk ships. And we can go to the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. The Christian navy under Don Juan of Austria was going to do battle if they found the Turkish navy totally outnumbered. The Turkish fleet had far more ships and sailors and soldiers, but Don Juan distributed a rosary to every man on those ships. And then on the eve of the battle, leading by example, he required that all of his men take this spiritual sword into their hands and pray it, and they did. As he was stirring up his men at sea in the Mediterranean in the Gulf of Lepanto, in Rome, Pope Pius V was also assembling a spiritual army of prayer warriors throughout Rome and the surrounding regions. He prescribed that public devotions were to be conducted in honor of Our Lady and her Rosary. In response to his plea, confraternity after confraternity assembled and began to pray rosaries for the intentions of the Pope, and he wanted them to pray the Rosary for the success of the fleet at sea. On the evening of October 6th, 1571, the day before that decisive battle, St. Pius V himself led the rosary at the Dominican convent of Santa Maria sopra Minerva in Rome. He knew that if Europe were to be saved, it would only be saved through the intercession of the Virgin Mary. And then with tears in his eyes and a rosary in his hand, he entrusted the Christian cause to the Queen of Heaven. And of course, he had no idea that the battle would be fought the following day. One aspect of that Battle of Lepanto that is well known is that on the evening of the day that the Christians defeated the Muslims, Pope Pius V was in Rome in a meeting and received a vision of the victory. He was in the middle of that meeting when he suddenly broke away from those with him, stared out the window in complete ecstasy, and as if he were seeing something tremendous, he turned back towards the others with a radiant face and exclaimed, "Victory! Victory!" Those with him, not knowing what his exclamation meant, were informed by him that a great victory had been won that day for the Holy League. The vision occurred more than 2 weeks before the official courier from Venice arrived in Rome with the news. He was granted that special revelation that the battle had been won that day. The following year, he instituted the Feast of the Holy Rosary, calling it then Our Lady of Victories. And the following year, with a different pope, it was renamed the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And we celebrate it each year on October 7th, the anniversary of the Battle of Lepanto. The rosary is indeed a powerful prayer when it is prayed with faith. And Our Lady asked the three children and the world to pray the rosary at Fatima in 1917, and she expressly asked to pray for the conversion of Russia. Russia at that time was not yet under the Bolsheviks and later the communists. She said Russia would spread its errors throughout the world. Nations would be annihilated, as the Baltic states of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia were, absorbed into the Soviet Union without their national identity. But the people were praying the rosary throughout that 20th century. And then, beginning in 1989, communism fell, beginning in Poland and throughout those satellite countries of the Soviet Union and in Russia itself. The rosary is a powerful prayer. And as Saint Alphonsus Liguori says, it brings about the conversion of sinners. And let us relate first the story of Father Donald Calloway. He relates it in his book, Champions of the Rosary, from which I drew much of that material on the Battle of Lepanto. He writes there, "When I first encountered the rosary, I was a sick man, sick in my heart and sick in my soul. I had been living a very immoral life, to the point where I had to drop out of high school. I was worldly, hedonistic, and without hope of ever changing. My life was so out of control that at the age of 15, I was forcibly removed from the country of Japan due to criminal activity. My stepfather was a naval officer at the time. After being deported from Japan, my life of crime and sin continued. I did 2 stints in drug rehabilitation centers in Pennsylvania and was thrown in jail in Louisiana as soon as I turned 18. By the age of 20, I was completely lost and on the point of taking my own life. I was about as far away from God as a person can get. In fact, I hated anything religious, especially anything to do with Jesus and the Catholic Church. But one night in 1992, I picked up a book that my parents, who had recently converted to Catholicism, had purchased and left on their bookshelf. The book was about a beautiful woman named Mary. It alleged that she was coming from a place called heaven with a message of love, mercy, and conversion. I had no idea who Mary was or what a Marian apparition was, but the message intrigued me, and I stayed up all night reading it. The contents of that book hit my foul soul like a divine 2x4. So I went to a Catholic church the very next day to find a priest and get some answers, which was the first time I had ever been inside a Catholic church. It was also the first time I encountered the rosary. I remember creeping into the small military chapel of Our Lady of Victory on Norfolk Naval Base in Norfolk, Virginia. And we might pause to consider that the chapel was dedicated to Our Lady of Victory, the feast honoring the Battle of Lepanto in its first designation. He goes on, I entered with fear and trembling, fully aware that I was no friend of God. I intentionally sank down as low as I could in the last pew in order to avoid eye contact with the only other people in the chapel, the 5 Filipino women up front. Then I witnessed something bizarre. Each of the ladies pulled something out of their purse resembling a necklace. I had no idea what it was or what they were going to do with it, but within a few seconds they were using it and saying words I had never before heard. Due to their thick Filipino accents, I couldn't entirely make out what they were saying, but it went something like this. Hail Mary, something, something, Jesus, followed by Holy Mary, something, something, death, Amen. Next, and to my total surprise, the apparent leader turned around and looked at me, the long-haired hippie sitting in the back. She jingled her necklace at me and asked me to pray the next decade. What? A decade? Are you kidding me? I thought to myself. For me, a decade meant one thing, 10 years. I was clueless and confused, and seeing the bewildered expression on my face, the kind Filipino lady offered a clarification. The second sorrowful mystery, she said. My reaction to her was complete silence. The clarification didn't help me understand what it was she was trying to communicate to me. I had absolutely no idea what this woman was up to by jingling her necklace at me and asking me to pray for 10 years. Needless to say, they carried on without me. Though I didn't join them that day, it didn't take long for me to be told what they were doing. The priest I talked to told me the ladies prayed the rosary before Mass every day. I remembered a diagram of something called the rosary in that book about Mary, but I hadn't known what it was at the time. Well, within a matter of days, the Filipino women took me under their care and taught me how to pray it. I was completely fascinated. Before long, I had all the prayers and mysteries memorized and was leading it, turning to others and inviting them to pray the next decade. I began to carry those little beads in my pocket wherever I went. That little 20-minute prayer helped me fall madly in love with Jesus and Catholicism. The rosary helped me turn from a life of sin to a life of freedom. It gave me the courage to surrender my heart, mind, and soul completely to Jesus and His Church. The Virgin Mary and her rosary saved my life. And of course, he is now Father Donald Calloway. Lord, what a weapon you have put in our hands through your mother. Help us to say it daily, daily. If we can, 15 or 20 minutes is all it takes. And we will be meditating on your life and so many aspects of your life contained in those mysteries. The 7 sacraments are there. So many virtues are there. So many dogmas of faith and devotions. It is such a rich prayer. Help us to say it as Our Lady has asked us to do. we will be ones that benefit, and we will say it for so many other intentions, for the Holy Father, for the bishops, for our priests, for the sick, for those out of work, for those who are dying, for those who have passed away. We will benefit, and they will benefit. And we finish with Our Lady. Mary, we thank you for giving us the Rosary through popular piety by recommending that we say it. Help us to say it, to fall more in love with you, with our Lord, with the Blessed Trinity. And if we say the Rosary regularly, we can be sure you will be there at the moment of our death. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.